Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Excellent.
Do you know what we're going to talk about today?
I do, but only because we've had technical problems and we have to redo it. But, you know, this is how we learn.
It's true. Here we go. Take two.
That you know of, that we'll admit to. I'm just kidding. It really is take two.
So today we're going to talk about exercising to failure or not to failure.
Which I really find this argument fascinating seems too strong of a word, but I've been told by some programs I've read to do 8 to 10 reps and then like 3 sets and like, oh, you should go heavy enough so that between your 8th and 10th rep on your 2nd and 3rd sets should be so hard that like you could not do another one. So if it's bicep curls, like you could not do another bicep curl if you tried. And then I've had other programs that don't really focus on like you should be at failure right now. It's more like this should just be really challenging and really hard is how they kind of describe it. And so it does seem to be 2 different schools of thought. And I'm sure this topic has devolved into gym fights around the world. Strangers, friends, just people arguing all day. To failure, not to failure. You don't know what you're talking about.
I do. I imagine this all-out war in the gym, especially with personal trainers and coaches. Mm-hmm. And I mean, work harder. You're not working hard enough. Work harder. So today we are going to talk about a paper that is a systematic review and a meta-analysis. So hopefully that can give us some
definitive answers because, listen, the last year and a half, if I have needed anything more, it's definitive answers to things.
That's true. There's a lot been up in the air.
Well, we think this. Now, don't tell me you think. I need you to know. I need you to be sure. I need things to be certain in my life. Anywho, so I do believe you've prepared some definitions for us, so I will get into that. So hypertrophy is the increase or growth of muscle cells, which increases muscle size. So really, all we're talking about there is the growth of size or increase in size of the muscle cells. So your full muscle tissue will get bigger because it will make new cells. This is just kind of that pump that you're talking about. So after you work out, like whatever muscle group you work, just kind of seems bulkier. It's got some blood flow in there. It's got some size, some definition, more than when we woke up that morning for sure. So that's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. I got something. Teaching me things week after week, and I thank you for that.
Yes.
Strength is the measure of exertional force. So break that one down for me, though.
So strength is the ability to, move something with a certain amount of force to overcome that force or overcome that weight. So that's your ability to move a dumbbell or a tire or a big boulder.
Or in my case, if I'm just pushing open a door and there's a bit of a vacuum effect, so then I gotta like brace my feet and lean into it and really just give it the good old heave-ho to get the door open.
So you got to use your strength to open the door.
Okay. The last one is power exertion of maximal force in a short period of time. What, pray tell, is maximal force?
It's maximal force.
She's like, I put it down on the thing in the notes. Jeez, like, can't you just read it and stop asking me questions? Listen, not all of us have a master's in kinesiology, and I don't know what your keyword terms mean. Now, if you want to talk insurance terms, I got you.
You're my lady.
Mm-hmm.
So maximal force, it's just your all-out force. So it's as much as you can possibly put into it whenever you're trying to do something. So like powerlifting would be like a clean. So it's your ability to move that weight, a maximal weight at a fast pace.
Gotcha.
Or a short period of time.
Oh, yes. So what is this paper called?
So this paper is by Vieira, Umpierre, Teodoro, Lisboa, Baroni, Bruno, Izquierdo.
Sure.
Please forgive me if I mispronounced your name. I do my best. So the title of this paper is Effects of Resistance Training Performed to Failure or Not to Failure on Muscle Strength, Hypertrophy, and Power Output. It's a systematic review with meta-analysis. It was published in the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research in April of 2021.
Ah, new baby, fresh out.
Yeah.
Gotta love me.
So the purpose of this paper was to do a systematic review and perform a meta-analysis of studies that compared resistance training to failure and to not to failure, affecting the hypertrophy, strength, power, and in adult subjects. They also looked at the difference in volume being equalized and not equalized in the results.
So they're not just trying to look at one thing between deciding if working to failure or not is good. They tried to attack it from a bunch of different angles, it seems like.
I believe so, yes.
Nice. So the methods that they did this study with. So how they went about this study is they didn't have participants specifically participate in their study. What they did was they pulled from a bunch of other studies that had already been done and then kind of gathered the results from each of those and things like that. So how they went about this was they didn't have their own people in a study that they designed. What they did was they looked at a bunch of other already published or completed studies and compiled their results based on those. So how they went about choosing which ones to have, they picked studies that were where the participants were randomly assigned to different parts in that study or non-randomized. So they were specifically chosen to be in a certain group in that study. They also made sure that the studies were at least 6 weeks or longer. They studied untrained and trained adults. Hey, sister, remind everybody what that means if they're trained or untrained.
Typically in research studies, a untrained individual is someone who has not exercised or done physical activity on a regular basis for 6 months or 12 months, depending on the study. And then trained individuals are pretty much the exact opposite. They did training of some kind, exercise, on a regular basis for 6 months or a year, depending on the regulations of the study.
That's excellent. That means I would be a trained individual.
You would be a trained individual.
It makes me feel good that I would have been considered a trained, because I would have thought it would be somebody like you who's been professionally trained, educated, and things like that. So a little more
trained.
I was trying to come up with a better word, but yeah, that's really the only one that fits. More trained than my training trained.
Train.
Train the trainer. Okay. So we have randomized and non-randomized. We have trained and untrained, and we have at least 6 weeks or longer. They also wanted to make sure that they were assessed by two different researchers to be reviewed for inclusion in this analysis. The search was performed in October 2019, so obviously the studies that they looked at would have had to have been published by that point in time, just to kind of give us a little bit of a time marker there. So this paper was published in April of 2021, this year. Each study was reviewed to assess for bias, classified as low and high risk, and the studies were also subgrouped by similarities, such as using lower body exercises together.
Cool.
So, given all of that, what did they find, little sister?
Well, they had 384 participants from 13 studies analyzed. In this review, 52 of the subjects were older adults. Four studies were performed with athletes, which made up 30% of the population. Eight were with untrained individuals, and one with recreationally resistance-trained individuals. Of these, 171 individuals participated in resistance training to failure interventions, whereas the 213 left over participated in resistance training not to failure interventions. So they consisted of resistance training performed of 1 to 40 sets of 1 to 22 repetitions at a range from 2 to 3 times a week. 46% of the studies did 2 times a week, and 53.8% did 3 times a week. So it was pretty evenly split there. Resistance training periods from 6 to 14 weeks of follow-up training. And the 13 studies included 5 studies used to compare groups that were non-equalized in volume and 5 that were equalized in volume. 3 with both comparisons, comparing both equalized and not equalized. 4 studies assessed muscle hypertrophy, 12 assessed maximal strength, and 5 assessed maximal power. So then they further broke down the paper into sections. They had 4 sections. They had maximal dynamic strength, muscle hypertrophy, muscle power, and then upper body versus lower body. Okay, so breaking it down into the groups, we have the maximal dynamic strength. There were no significant differences with resistance training to failure and not to failure. When you looked at equalized or not equalized in volume, there was no significant difference when it was equalized, but whenever it was not to failure, it showed an advantage whenever it was not equalized. So when the volume was not equalized, resistance training not to failure actually showed more dynamic strength improvements than the two failure group. But it was not equalized in volume, so you have to take that information with a grain of salt. Muscle hypertrophy was done with 4 studies, so they had 189 participants that they looked at. Resistance training to failure had more hypertrophy than the not to failure group. When volume was equalized, there was no significant difference, so that's something to keep in mind there. Muscle power output was done with 5 studies with 150 participants. There was no difference between to failure or not to failure. When volume was not equalized, resistance training not to failure had a greater increase in power output, but there was no differences found when the volume was equalized. And lastly, the upper body versus lower body. Lower body had significantly greater strength gains in the not to failure group, when upper body showed no significant difference in those gains.
I'm very interested in why, I wonder.
I am too. And how many studies looked at upper body versus lower body as well? They didn't really dive too much into the upper versus lower body with giving the information. But I do.
Maybe it's something with the. It's just, yeah, it's just very interesting because you have bigger muscles as a unit in your lower body.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your quads, your hamstrings, like those are bigger muscle groups. But you're probably your biggest single muscles are in your back, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
And when they looked at upper body, yeah, was it just arms and shoulders? Was it arms, shoulders, chest, and back?
Yeah. Or were they just looking at bicep and tricep? There's a lot of smaller muscles that they could have been looking at, which makes it a little bit more complicated to study.
That, so, and you would want to compare, because of that, yeah, you would want to compare, like, percentage change of volume or size.
Mm-hmm.
But even if that's what they did and it wasn't show and it was still showed a significant difference, I'm very curious about why. So if anybody out there knows or has read this study as well or seen others like it, definitely let us know.
Yeah.
Very curious.
Meta-analysis are pretty popular to do whenever a body of work has a substantial amount of research done.
Oh, good.
They try to do these so that they can come up with more of a conclusive result.
Or maybe there are people like us that go, I like your study. I have follow-up questions.
Maybe.
And so then they try to answer those follow-up questions. Like, you have the data here to answer this question. You just didn't do it, so we're gonna.
Oh, I found that it was interesting that hypertrophy and strength had different results. So the two failure group had more of an advantage with hypertrophy when the not to failure had more advantage with strength, even though the results were not significant. I just found that very interesting. But when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. You know, when you're working to failure, you're going to be tearing the muscle fibers more, which means that they're going to be building back bigger so that they're not being destroyed as much or torn, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the results for power kind of make sense to me. The not to failure had a greater increase just because power is typically done with lighter loads than what you would do for strength training for hypertrophy. So that made sense to me.
I would agree.
Yeah. The authors wanted to point out that the literature showed that hypertrophy is correlated with training volume. So training to failure could in turn be causing the higher volume. So when volume is equalized, there's no difference between the two training methods for power, strength, and hypertrophy. But it could be something that could be looked further into.
So to recap, we kind of learned that there was no significant differences in some areas and some interesting differences in others. So the no difference to strength, I think, kind of just tells us that it doesn't really matter. Go to failure or not, it seems to be fine in terms of like strength gains by itself. But then you had said that if, I think it was the working to failure group,
mm-hmm.
had more gains in size.
Yes.
So for someone who's looking to be in more of a visual competition, or they're just looking for a specific look for themselves, a lot of it's, you know, you've got your own body composition factors and things like that. Some people just really have a hard time bulking up. But it does seem like if you're looking for size specifically, then you would go the working to failure route.
Yeah. The only thing that I have against resistance to failure before we end off is that you're more likely to be injured whenever you're consistently working to failure like that, because you're gonna lose form, you're gonna just hurt yourself. So just caution your exercise regimen if you decide to do
resistance failure training. But with good form, that is absolutely important.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you all for listening today. We hope that you learned something. We certainly did.
Yes. I will not be trying to fail tomorrow.
No.
When I actually listen to my alarms and get up and work out. Hey, you got to be positive, right?
You do. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.